Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
And Susan Owensby's cooking.
Welcome to the Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served. I'm Susan Owensby. It's Saturday, the 14th of December, the 348th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are only 17 days left in 2024. And only one day. Okay, I'll give you 2 days to get your New Year resolutions or wishes to us. We planned a nice show around your good intentions for 2025, so be sure you are included. Send your resolutions and or wishes to me today. Monday the 16th is the deadline. You're listening to Tamasha, written and played by a group from Pakistan called Kuma Aryan. I have a very good reason to play music from Pakistan. Can you guess why? It's in honor of my brother, Salim Akhtar Chadhar, the president of the RFI Seven Stars Listening Club in District Chinio, Pakistan, who won the RFI Planet Radio E-Pop Video Contest in the RFI Clubs category. I am so happy for you, Salim, and I know all of you are. Bravo, Salim. Mubarak ho. Tamasha, played by Kuma Aryan. Music from Pakistan for Salim Akhtar Chadhar, the winner of the RFI Planet Radio E-Pop Video Competition in the RFI Clubs category. You can see Salim's video on the RFI English, the Sound Kitchen, and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Again, dear Salim, Mubarak Baad.
आप सुन रहे हैं सोजन ओवेन्सबी को साउंड किचन के साथ.
The Sound Kitchen team is complete. Erwan Rome is at his mixing board behind the glass window in front of us, and our co-chef Paul Myers, also known as Baby Brother, is right here next to me. Say hello, Baby Brother.
Hello, baby brother.
Oh, I knew you were going to do that one day. I knew it was coming. Hey, did you watch the Notre Dame opening ceremony?
I did not, but I was aware it was happening. I heard the bells. The bells. That's the film, wasn't it? The bells. Charles Laughton, Quasimodo, the bells.
Exactly.
No, but I do plan to go along at a point when all the crowds have gone, if they ever go.
Even dirty, it was always packed, but it will be something to see.
We've never
seen it. It's so clean and white. However, what I'm wondering is, it's always really dark.
Mm-hmm.
So for the ceremony, of course, it was all lit up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if we'll really get to see it. If the lights are, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go and have a look, obviously. But given that I didn't really know the ins and outs of the cathedral before, I'm not really going to be able to appreciate the wondrous newness. But I'm going to go along and see. And,
you will, because it's clean.
I'm going to pay tribute to all the artisans, the thousands of artisans who have made it what it is.
I didn't really want to watch it. I told my husband it's going to be interminably long, and it was, but the moment when the firemen and the artisans came, and there was the thunderous applause.
Did you cry?
I cried.
Yeah, you see, you're susceptible like that. I wouldn't cry. I'm tough.
You would have cried when you saw Donald Trump. So, without further ado, let's get started. Still to come, the quiz, your answers to the bonus question on the Listener's Corner with Paul, and a tasty musical dessert from Erwan on Music from Erwan. So don't touch that dial.
Are you ready? I do hope so.
And so do I, cuz it's time for the quiz.
Mm-hmm.
On the 9th of November, I asked you a question about the marvelous American composer and musician Quincy Jones, who died earlier that week. You're listening to one of his compositions right now. You were to reread our article, Tributes Roll In for Beloved Musician and Producer Quincy Jones, who died at 91, and send in the answer to this question. What is the name of the legendary French woman with whom Jones studied in Paris in 1957? Hey, Paul, what's the answer? No, wait, before you give it, let's listen to the end of this 1957 composition, No Bones at All. Quincy Cool. I wonder if he wrote that piece while he was here in Paris studying with, Paul, now the answer. Who was Quincy Jones studying with here in Paris in 1957?
Nadia Boulanger, possibly the single most important composition teacher of the 20th century. In addition to the quiz question, there was the bonus question. What is the best way to flatter a mother-in-law? You'll hear the answers later in the Listener's Corner, so please do stay with us.
The winners of this week's quiz are RFI Listener's Club member Pradeep Chandra Kundu from West Bengal, India. Pradeep is also this week's bonus question winner. This is what he wrote. A mother-in-law is the same as one's mother, so why should one flatter her? She should always be respected and treated as one treats one's mother. It's also expected that the same attitude will be shown by a mother-in-law to her son or daughter-in-law. This is the normal way of genuine relationship. The question of flattering a mother-in-law comes only when things are not going well, And in that case, a son or daughter-in-law must use flattery for his or her interest or to avoid any unwanted situation. For this, one will have to understand what she wants and how she would remain pleased or satisfied, and then will have to role play accordingly. One will have to show sincerity, attentiveness, and caring. And it has to be done smartly, even if it's against one's will, but for the sake of a greater interest. Well, I hope none of you fall into that. I know. I hope none of you fall into this category, although mothers-in-law can be very difficult. I've certainly heard some hair-raising stories about some of them. At any rate, congratulations on your double win, Pradeep. Also on the list of lucky winners this week are RFI Listeners Club members Zenon Tellis, who's the president of the Christian Marxist-Leninist Maoist Association of Listening DXers in Goa, India, and Atwar Rahman Ranju, who's the president of the Alokito Manush Kai International Radio Listeners Club in Rangpur, Bangladesh. Rounding out the list of this week's winners are RFI English listeners Shatrughan Sharma from Rajasthan, India, and Mahfuz from Kumila, Bangladesh. Congratulations to this week's winners, and thanks to each and every one of you who wrote in. I'm sure, like me, you've been watching as the anti-Assad militants took over Syria in what seemed like minutes. The Syrian rebels, led by Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, seized Damascus this past Sunday. Their rapid advance through the Syrian government's final territorial holdings led Assad to flee to Russia and ended his family's six-decade rule. What happens now? It appears most of the world is happy to see the end of Bashar al-Assad's brutal dictatorship. But with so many different factions within the rebel group, many with extremist views, we're all holding our breath for my part. I'm terribly worried about Syrian women. Assad's principal allies, Russia and Iran, busy with their own wars, did not come to the government's aid as they have in the past. You read all about this throughout the week on our website, but I want you to reread this specific article. France's support for Syrian transition hinges on respect for minority rights. And send in the answer to this question. France's outgoing Foreign Affairs Minister, Jean-Noël Barrot, noted in our article that, and I quote, Assad's fall is a clear defeat for Moscow. Why? Why does Jean-Noël Barrot think that Assad's fall is a clear defeat for Moscow? Again, reread our article. France's support for Syrian transition hinges on respect for minority rights, and send in the answer to this question. Why does France's outgoing Foreign Affairs Minister Jean-Noël Barrot think that Assad's fall is a clear defeat for Moscow? What can Russia lose with the fall of Syria's dictatorship? You'll find our article on the Sound Kitchen page on our website, rfienglish.com, as well as on the Sound Kitchen and the RFI English Listeners Forum Facebook pages. Paul, what's this week's bonus question?
How can we have peace amongst all peoples? That's the question Debashish Gope from West Bengal in India would like an answer to, and so would we. How can the world come together in peace? How can all people live in peace?
Got some big thoughts on that, baby brother.
Yes, I do. I put myself in charge. That's one big thought. Actually, quite seriously, I've been racking my brains about this one, and I actually haven't come up with anything other than to watch good TV programs which engender good ideas about how we can all get on together. Star Trek, the original series, comes straight to mind.
No, but you're right.
Whenever I watch that, I think, yeah, this was made in the 60s when there were ideas about ideals and all of us getting along together, going out, being adventurous, coming together, finding problems, overcoming the problems, working a way through them. That's the TV program I would watch when I need peace. In fact, that is the TV program I watch when I'm actually in a state of war with other people, and it helps me to come to peace, because on Star Trek they usually sort it out, and Spock's always got something logical, and Captain Kirk's always
fascinating
bones, and the Doctor's. Yeah, I'd watch Star Trek, and I still do. And
well,
you?
Well, you know what? I hadn't thought of Star Trek, but you're right. It is a great utopian series. Yeah. Yep. And I agree with you. If I were Empress of the world, everything would be much better. But I'm afraid I'm really going to be cynical here, but frankly, I'm not sure. It's possible. Mm. We've always had wars, and I think until the perfection of mankind happens, and that doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon, there won't be peace on Earth. Now, how to get to that perfection of mankind place? It's what we all know. By being peaceful and kind ourselves to everyone around us. Maybe by osmosis or something, the nasty people here below will somehow be transformed. Maybe, we can hope. At least we can behave peacefully.
Yep, we need guides. Mm. Angels or whatever they are, but spirits, good spirits. They're around.
Yeah, there are so many good people here below. So, what about you, dear listeners? What do you think? How can we have peace amongst all people? And remember, we're always happy to hear your ideas for bonus questions, so please send them in. Thanks to Bashus for the suggestion. You have until the 20th of January to get your answers to the quiz and the bonus question in. Be sure to tune in on the 25th of January to hear if your answer wins a prize. As always, be sure you include your postal address with your postal code. And don't forget to let me know if you are a Miss, Ms., Mrs., or a Mr. I don't want to get it wrong.
Send your quiz answers to english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr. Always include your postal mailing address, and if you have one, your RFI Club membership number.
Susan Owensby, The Sound Kitchen, Radio France International.
And now, more from and about you. It's time for the Listener's Corner. Take it away, baby brother.
The question you answered this week was, what is the best way to flatter a mother-in-law? John Yemi Sande Touré wrote, with mothers-in-law in Africa, it's all about gifts with money. This is the way to win her heart and convince her you are the best person for her daughter. Kripa Ram wrote, anyone who flatters their mother-in-law is scratching a tiger, as we say. Buy a gift for your mother-in-law and give her a genuine compliment every now and then. Praise her for being so good at cooking. Admire her pretty clothes and appreciate her work. Never forget her birthday and other occasions when you should congratulate her.
Ooh, scratching a tiger. I'm keeping that one. That's a good one. You know, there's a dessert in Mexico. There's a dessert in Mexico called mother-in-law's milk. It's nice, sweet, smooth ice cream with throat-cracking tequila poured on top of it. Olé!
Wow, okay. Dipita Chakrabarti applied an old adage about how to catch a man to catch her mother-in-law. This is what she wrote. The trick that I applied successfully was to go all out in praise of my mother-in-law's cooking prowess. the unique way she expertly prepared biryani and butter chicken. I knew she liked smoked hilsa fish prepared in a certain way as a restaurant would do. And I was able to do it. So, as they say, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. I applied that to my mother-in-law and found love in her heart. It worked the same way for Helmut Matt de Peter. He noted his mother-in-law loved his cooking, and here's what he wrote. Unfortunately, my mother-in-law is no longer alive, but I was always very happy when she came to visit us. I didn't have to compliment her because we got on very well. She was always particularly happy when I cooked. That was always a special gift for her from me. She always said my cooking was gourmet cuisine. Jayanta Chakrabarti wrote, "The easiest and surest way is to praise her daughter for her impeccable conduct and culinary skills. My mother-in-law is bowled over when I profess that her daughter is the best woman I could ever have as a wife."
Which is, of course, true, right, Jayanta? Today's bonus question is a fairly abstract one for Father Stephen Wara. Roman Catholic priests are not allowed to marry. Nevertheless, he gave it a whirl and said that if he did have a wife, he'd tell his mother-in-law that, as he wrote, her daughter is the best housewife in the entire universe. Feminism aside, and all my sisters know this, running a household is a big job, and doing it well is assuredly something to be quite proud of. So that is a nice compliment, Father Steve, even if a bit dated for some of us.
Moving swiftly on then, Radhakrishna Pillai takes his flattery outdoors. This is what he wrote. "I flatter my mother-in-law by praising her gardening and how well she takes care of her plants and flowers." We'll close with Malik Muhammad Metab Kokar, who wrote, "Treat your mother-in-law with respect, decency, sincerity, humility, and kindness. Give her small gifts regularly, and show your joy when you see her." And there you have it. Remember, everyone, this week's bonus question is, how can we have peace amongst all people? And thanks again to Debashish Gope for the suggestion. Do you have a bonus question idea? Well, if so, send it to us at The Sound Kitchen, all one word, no spaces, at rfi.fr.
That's it for today's Listener's Corner. Thanks, everyone, for participating, and a special thanks to Paul Myers for hanging out in the kitchen with us.
A pleasure, as always, Susan.
You're listening to The Sound Kitchen, where you never know what you'll be served.
Okay, my friends, it's time to clear the table and wash the dishes. Thanks for joining us in The Sound Kitchen, and keep those cards, letters, and emails coming. Many, many thanks to Erwan Rome for his input and his mixing mastery. And thanks to you for listening. And once again, congratulations to EPOP laureate Salim Akhtar Chadhar. Be sure you watch his video on one of our Facebook pages. And be sure you tune in next Saturday, the 21st of December, for Christmas carols and the answer to the question about Paris Photo. The Sound Kitchen podcast is ready for you every Saturday on the RFI English website, rfienglish.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'll play you out with music from Erwan, our sound engineer, who's also a musician. And today he's chosen music for us from my other country, Mexico, my beloved, wonderful Mexico. Erwan chose a piece performed by the Xexecanela group, a female trio who play Son Huasteco. Son Huasteco is a traditional Mexican musical style from northeastern Mexico, influenced, of course, by Spanish and indigenous styles. It's almost always played by a trio of musicians, like today's Xexecanela group, and the instruments you'll hear are the guitarra quinta huapanguera, which is an eight-stringed instrument similar to a guitar, The jarana huasteca, a five-stringed instrument similar to a mandolin, and a violin. The song Irwan chose for you is called La Huasanga, one of the best-known songs of the huasteca style. Huasanga refers to the happy sounds made at a party, so get festive! Here it is, La Huasanga, performed by Che Shekinela. Thanks again, Irwan, for another musical adventure. I'm Susan Owensby. Be well, do good work, be kind, and stay in touch. And remember, do not confuse human beings, our brothers and sisters, with their governments. Stay safe, my friends, and be a blessing. Be a rainbow in someone's cloud. Talk to you all next week.
Tanto amor le queda.